Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
How many of you are going through something? And it doesn't even have to be something huge. Maybe it's just something that you're telling God. God, I'm waiting for you. I'm believing for you. Know that in the time of waiting, there's still joy if you go after Him. If you dive in and you dig deep, you'll find that there's that peace that passes all understanding, that joy unspeakable, because He's promised it to you. And it does get you through those moments where you feel like, I don't understand what's happening. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what's going on. God, I'm going after you and I feel like all this stuff is coming against me. And this is exactly what we do. The joy of the Lord is my strength. As I go after Him, as I press in, as I move forward, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Because when I feel like I can't do it anymore, that joy that's unspeakable will carry you through it and give you strength in exactly the moment that you need it. Man, it's a powerful thing. Because when we're digging deep and going after Him in the Word, it's not just reading, it's feeding. It's giving you things that you need. It's giving you the joy unspeakable. It's giving you every single thing that you need to get you through the moment you're in. That's what's awesome about serving a living God, a God who is always, always knowing the next step that we're going to be in, who's always moving before us, who's always walking right there, making sure that every single thing we need in our life is there and given to us. But it's up to us to take it. Let's sing this verse again, because I really like, there is a King seated on the throne, and it doesn't matter what you're going through. He is seated there and He knows what He has for you. So let the joy carry you through. Let the joy give you strength. Let it give you something even when you can't see what your joy is about. Just know that victory is already yours. That's what the joy is for. Because it doesn't matter what you're going through. He's not left you, and He will take you to the next place.
So God just put something on my heart right now. During practice, we did so well. The enemy's trying to make me feel defeated right now because we did lose our focus a little bit. And God just said, worship is what you do. So we can follow a script. We can, you know, we're here to lead you guys. But in all honesty, it's just opening your heart and just feeling and doing what you feel, right? Because that's what He wants from us. He wants our hearts. And it's really difficult sometimes when we are, for me especially, like it's been years since I've been in front and worshiping, and Becca and I grew up together, and it was like, this is what you do, you follow it, you don't mess up, right? And so I just, when I felt, I heard God say, just let it go. Just feel it, worship, and, you know, just even a conversation. You don't even have to sing the words. You don't have to, just in that moment, just seeking God and you know, having that space with Him and just sharing what you feel. And it can be difficult. I don't know if you guys agree, but and just take the moment to just thank God and just be led. Be led in whatever way it is.
Is this one on? Good? All right. You know, I was looking at the lyrics, and I'm also the slides guy, so you could talk about me not having the lyrics perfect. and I was kind of thinking about that. It's like, you know, God never chooses perfection. I mean, if we were perfect, we wouldn't need Jesus, right? He's just looking for people that are willing. I mean, look how many times Moses said, hey, I'm not the guy. I can't do that. I can't talk. It's like, have somebody else speak for me. But I mean, it kind of goes along with what I'm talking about when we're talking about serving. Talked about, I would never imagine myself up here. Is that, you know, God's not looking for somebody who's already perfect or somebody that's already great at doing whatever job it is or serving in any kind of way, because that doesn't glorify God, right? His glory comes from showing his power in our weakness. And he really just wants people that give their heart to him. It doesn't matter what you've done in your past. It doesn't matter, you know, where you're at in life right now. Because every day is a new day. And every day is a new chance. And then, you know, all we need to do is to learn to love people, love God above all. So, like I said, it's not looking for perfection. Don't be worried or afraid that you're not good enough, you're not talented enough, you're not built a certain way. That's not you. Because it is you if God's called you to it.
Yes.
He equips you for everything you need. So, with that, just as I stated before, find your calling, even if it's not in this church. If it's just outside somewhere, God's having you help people, bring people to Christ, do it. I'll tell you, it's life-changing. Life-changing.
It's in the struggle. It's in the... Thanks. It was red. Yeah, it's dying. It's in the struggle. It's in the uncomfortable. I was always the one that had to do it right, you know, had to have it perfect too. And we don't learn then, you know, it's in the struggle. You don't learn how to ride the bike until you fall a few times. So you don't learn to crawl or walk until you fall and cry and fuss and temper tantrums. And it's in the struggle, and that's where we grow. And if we can get comfortable with being uncomfortable, that's where we're going to learn. That's where we're going to be vulnerable enough and open enough to receive the Spirit and listen to the Spirit. It's not about the mind or the body. It's about the Spirit. And if we can get our mind and our body out of the way, you know, that's when we're open to hear what God has to say. Let the Spirit move in us.
What a gal. Thank you, Cindy. Praise God. Hallelujah. How's everybody today? Praise God. I tell you what, I got to learn how to transition, I guess. I don't know. Like I said, I'm back there going, yeah, yeah. You generally have to do anything but just get ready. I love worshiping before preaching. How do you say amen to that? Can I tell you that I have to worship before I preach? It's just something that I just have to. Otherwise, it's almost like I'm trying to open a door without turning the knob. Does that make sense to you? So can I get you just to stand up one more time? Hallelujah. And let's just worship God just for a second. Father, we thank you this morning. Father, yes, I know we've been in worship, God. But Lord, we just desire, Father God, to hear from you this morning. Father, I'm asking you, Lord, that you would quicken my mouth to speak the things that you've been speaking to me, that I might, Father God, that by your Spirit, Lord, edify and build up the body of Christ. Father, we thank you for that. Father, we thank you that you are doing a mighty thing in the world today. Father God, what we're seeing, what we're looking at is the hand of God, and we will not deny that, Father. We know you know what's happening. So, Father, we give you all the praise for it, all the glory, all the honor, Father, because none else deserves the glory and the honor but thee, O God. Hallelujah. So we thank you and we praise you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, yell amen. Say amen as loud as you can. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, you can be seated. Amen. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Hallelujah. I took the week off to listen to Abe's message last week. A good message. If you guys get a chance, get online and listen to the message that came out last week. It was wonderful. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Today we're talking about undefiled. The word is undefiled. How many of you like the thought of being undefiled. Do you like that? Praise God. I'm going to tell you, it's a place that you cannot get to on your own. It's the only one that can get you. Get you there is Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. So if you will open your Bibles to Mark chapter 7, starting at verse 1. I need to put this podium right on John's marks. Pastor John's got some marks. It's got to be just right there. Wait, let me get a little tap here. Come on, man. Praise God. Just so you, need to acknowledge his work. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, you know, we got to acknowledge the work. I mean, I appreciate Abe and McKay and Linda and everybody that helped us out last week. Pastor John and Stella were gone celebrating their anniversary. Amen. And Rosie and I were gone visiting with my son in California, and our sound guy is gone, still gone. Don't know where he's gone, but he's gone. Hey, praise God. Hallelujah. But how many of you know sometimes we just need to take a break? Amen?
Amen.
You just got to get a break once in a while. Brother Steve was gone. Brother Hank was gone. Yeah, praise God. Hallelujah. This church might not fit us all if we all showed up at one time. How do you say amen to that? Praise God. Hallelujah. Did I tell you where Mark chapter 7? I'm sorry. The book of Mark chapter 7. I love to look at Jesus every time. I mean, I know something that I wish everybody knew. I know that Jesus came to be not only our sacrifice for sins, amen, but he also came to show us how a righteous person is supposed to walk on this earth. How many say amen to that? He gave us an example. He showed us. He is the pattern, if you will, of the tabernacle. I mean, let me say amen. I mean, those of you that know the studies of the tabernacle, he is the pattern. It was all made after him. You can see Jesus in every part of that tabernacle. Oh, God. Hallelujah. And so every time I'm up here, I love to go to where he's at, and then move on to wherever I feel the Lord has taken us. How do you say amen to that? Amen. Praise God. So hang on. We got something to talk about. Starting at Mark chapter 7, starting at verse 1. We're going to go to verse 23. The word of God says this. Now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong place. Let me say amen to that. I'm sorry. I was looking at it, I go, man, this isn't what I was reading last night. I said, where am I? Hallelujah, praise God. Transition. This change is good. Let me say amen. Yeah, all right, good. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. Bless us. Open our ears to hear what you're saying this morning. We thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name. We honor you. Amen. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, unwashed hands, they found fault. Everybody say defiled. How many like eating without washing your hands? Anybody here? I'll tell you, sometimes it just comes natural. Is that right? Praise God. You're at a ball field and you get a hot dog. How many of you go out and wash your hands first? Well, some of us do, but that's okay. You just don't touch the butt. Just don't touch the thing, right? Praise God. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands, often they eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they came from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups, pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and the scribe asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of your elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? And he answered and said unto them, well, has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites? How would you like to get that answer from the Lord? Oh, yeah. Isaiah talked about you, hypocrite. Whoa, what? I was just asking if why don't they wash their hands? But now, well, you come up with it. And here he is. He says, well, has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites? As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men as washing of pots and cups, and many other such things you do. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say a gift, by whatsoever you mightest be profited by me, ye shall be free. And you suffer him no more to do anything or aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things do you. Jesus was going after, if you will, these men and their traditions. How many say amen? Because the word of God, if it's followed strictly long enough by enough people, sometimes man will they'll make their own, will make their own assumptions on how it should be. How many say amen to that? They will assume that this is the way it's got to be, so they'll put it out like that. And Jesus is going after where they said that the word of God says to honor your mother and your father. You honor them. Does it leave us any kind of room to not honor your mother and your father?
No.
No, it doesn't at all. It says you honor your mom and your dad, period. Amen? Yeah. And he says, but what you've done is like, okay, so you build, I guess in his day, maybe you build furniture for a living and you become rich. And your parents, are known that they are the parents of that rich guy over there. And so what you're doing is you're saying, well, whatever you're profited by me, which is the rich guy, it is okay. I don't have to honor you. And the word of God, and Jesus is coming after him for it. He goes, man, you can't use your tradition to nullify the word of God. How many say amen to that? No matter what we do, we got to listen to what God has to say about things and follow that. Amen? Is that a good word? Oh, absolutely, it's a good word. You got to do that. I really do believe that we have walked in traditions for quite a while. How many say amen? Do you understand that sometimes we do things after the traditions we've been taught? Is that okay? Yeah, it's okay. But when you hear the truth and you know the truth, it's important that you make that adjustment to move yourself out of that tradition if it might be wrong. How many say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. Now look, I was raised in the Catholic Church. I was from since I was probably 8 years old all the way up into my teens, I served as an altar boy. And I was very traditional. And there was traditions that they did that I wouldn't eat meat on Friday. Tradition, is that right? But the word of God says something different, doesn't it? So I was very traditional in those things. But it takes the word of God to enter your heart so that it can move and remove the things that are contrary to the word of God and move you into the correct way of living. And if I tell you if it's a correct way of living, do you know that that correct way of living will bring freedom to your life? How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Living correctly will bring freedom to you. Hallelujah. I love that. I love freedom. How many like freedom? Man, being free doesn't mean that you can release yourself from what the word of God says to you. Is that right? You have to observe God's word. I don't care how old you are. I don't care. You know, some people have been serving God for years and years and years and are still holding on to things that are contrary to the word of God. Have you ever run into somebody like that? I was a gentleman that, there was a gentleman that I knew. I loved him dearly. He was a great friend. And he would tell me, this would be what he was. I'm just an old sinner, saved by grace. I understand that. I understand. I mean, say, do you understand what he's saying? I'm just an old sinner. I'm saved by grace. I'm just a sinner. But how many of you know the Word of God takes you from there and places you in a different position? How many of you know that? That you are no longer just an old sinner. You are what the Bible calls redeemed. You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God, by Jesus himself, so that you can walk in a way that God has for you. Is that okay? Yep. Praise God. So Jesus is talking about the traditions, and he's going after them. And then he goes on to tell them a little bit more about the washing of cups. And how, you know, we're in a day where you wash your hands a lot. Is that right? You walk in the store, you touch a knob, you go in, you wash your hands. You know, how many times are you getting washing your hands? Oh, don't get tired of that. Come on, man. Wash your hands. Amen. Verse 14 says, and when he had called all the people to him, he said unto them, listen to me, every one of you, and understand. I like where he is. Listen and understand. Is that okay? This is the Lord speaking. There is nothing from outside of man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile the man. The things that come out of you are the things that defile. Is that right? It says that if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Touch your ears real quick. Say, Lord, I want to hear. Go like that. Come on. Say, Lord, help me hear, Lord. Let me hear these things. Hallelujah. Because I'm going to tell you something. We're going to get into some things in just a minute, in just a little bit, that you might not have heard before, but you're going to, I mean, what it's going to place you in a position where you better go find out if I'm speaking to you right. Is that okay? Because we are in a time when truth needs to be opened up. Is that okay? The people of God need to hear the things of God so they can have a good understanding. They said, listen to what I said. Jesus said, listen to what I said. Understand. God wants us to understand as the body of Christ. So he says, open your ears and hear. And you're going to hear some things in just a minute that God has been boiling in me for years now. And it seemed like just last night, just this last week, he began to speak to me and says, Henry, you need to prophesy my word now. It was like in the opening of a gate where he said to me, now's the time. This is the time I have prepared you into. Walk in it. So you're going to hear some things. And like I say, pay attention. Listen to what's being told you this morning. If you will, lean into this message because it's important. It really is. It really is. Hallelujah. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said to them, are you so without understanding? I like that. Are you guys don't get it either? I think he was kind of amazed there. Man, he said, are you also without understanding? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without enters into the man, it cannot defile him? What you eat, he's saying, what goes into your mouth, that cannot defile you. Because it enters into this heart, enters not into the heart, but into the belly, and goes out through into the draught, purging all meats. It's just the system of the body. And he said, that which comes out of the man, this is where we need to hear, that defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. Amen? Amen. Is that right? Are we living in a world like that? How about in a world there proceed evil adulteries, fornications, murders? Amen? Are we living in a world like that? Yep. Thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit. People will deceive you at an instant. Is that right? How many of you get those crazy phone calls where they're trying to get some money out of you? Have you ever gotten those? Yeah. Yeah. They will try to deceive you and because they're trying to steal from you. They're putting all these words together for you. Lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, Amen? Yeah. And this last one, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And then he arose and went on. Praise God. I want to talk about foolishness because that's the one that caught my attention. And when I was looking at this, and the word of God says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Amen? Amen. You've heard that. You've read that. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. So that there is this distinction between somebody that rejects God and knows God, and God calls them a fool because even the heavens and the earth declare the glory of God. Is that what the word of God says? I mean, people that reject God all the time will walk to a lake, and there's trees around this lake, and this is the most beautiful place. Is that right? How many, they're loving it out there, and you walk up to it, yeah, aren't you glad the way God made things like this? They say, there ain't no God. What? What do you mean there ain't no God? Yeah, you're enjoying this lake. Did you make the lake? Did you build a tree? Did you make this beautiful lake? Come on, man. You saying there's no God? You know, and so there's a rejection that happens. But I want to talk to you about the foolishness of a believer. Is that okay? The foolishness of a believer. This word foolishness, the Greek word is aphrosune. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, aphrosune. So sue me. No, I was just saying. Aphrosune. Aphrosune. And the word means senseless. But it comes from a Greek word, aphron. Look at your neighbor, say aphron. Aphron. Yeah, look at him. Say aphron. It means mindless, ignorant, and the last word there is unbelieving. They won't believe. Can I tell you something? It is time that we quit picking and choosing what we believe out of the scriptures. Is that right? Is that okay? We need to look at the word of God and say, this is what God's word says, and this is what I'm going to believe. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 20:20 says this, the second part of the verse. It says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. How many believe God? You're going to be established if you believe him. Believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper. Is that right? Yep. How many of you know that there's prophets in the world today?
Yep.
Yeah. How many of you know that you are a prophet? Everybody look at me and say, amen. 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 You see, because the Spirit of God dwells in you. It's not you anymore. You were crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live. But it's not you that live. It's Christ that lives in you. So Jesus himself dwells in you. And if you believe that, I will tell you, you are a prophet. Can I tell you this? That God wants you to prophesy in the earth. Can I say that to you? It is something the body of Christ, the church, has backed away from and say, I'm not going to say those kind of things. But I'll tell you that God wants his people to be prophesying to those around them. There is only one thing that's going to bring joy and hope and gladness into the lives of the people around. It's you prophesying to them. Can I hear an amen? Because that's, I'm telling you the truth. Yep. This is God's word we're talking about. We're talking about you open your mouth. The Bible says in Romans, Chapter 10, it says, the word is near you. It's even in your mouth, the word which we preach, the word of God. It's in your mouth. Open your mouth and prophesy to the world. Hallelujah. When they say something, say, man, that's not the right. That's not right. The word of God says this. It's time that the truth be shown and known in the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is moving the body of Christ into position. And we've got to understand that he is saying some things to us. Praise God. Woo, hallelujah. You might not have liked that, but I think that was good preaching. Yeah, come on, man. I'll tell you what. I've been excited about saying some of the things I'm about to say to you this morning. It's been It's been on my heart. It's been on my heart. I've been given it piece by here, a little here and there. But the Lord has never swung the gate open for me to open these things up. He's never said, okay. It's like a racehorse waiting in the gate. Everybody else is taking off, and you're looking, where's my gate ain't open. That's the way I feel. Oh God, it's more this week and last night, and oh, I can sense the Lord saying, I have opened that door. Now is the time. Hallelujah. Can I tell you something? We gotta know truth. We gotta know it. We got to understand it. If it sounds weird to you, go and look at it. Go check it out. Hallelujah. Don't blame me. All I am is a messenger, a mouthpiece, if you will. Don't blame me. Go look at it for yourself. You'll find that God has more for you than you ever believed. Hallelujah. Let me just say this. How many believe that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God right now? How many believe that? Do you believe it? What's he doing there? That's a good question. What are you doing there, Lord? He has sent his spirit into the earth to lead and guide the body of Christ into all righteousness, into all truth. How many say amen?
Amen.
Thank you. One. That'll work. Praise God. Romans 8:34 says this. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Gives you an answer right there. What's he doing? Praying. He's praying for us. Can I tell you, when he told Peter, hey, don't worry, Peter. The devil has tried to sift you. But don't worry. This is Jesus. Jesus goes, I'm praying for you. Ooh, and let me tell you something. He's praying for you. Bro, that's a prophetic word to you. Do you know that? He's praying for you. He is praying for you. Call the pastors. Call the church. Have them pray for me. Well, guess what? That's a good thing. But Jesus is praying for you. Hallelujah. He's praying for you. Lord, thank you that you're praying for me. Hallelujah. That's what he's doing at the right hand of the Father. Jesus prophesied, said this, when they had him before the Sanhedrin and the elders, they asked him, who do you think you are, man? Jesus said this, Matthew 26, verse 64, he said, Jesus said to them, you have said, they asked him, are you the Son of God? Because they heard that. And he said, yeah, you've said that. You have said, nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter, you will see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power. Amen?
Amen.
And coming in clouds of glory of heaven. Amen. He's sitting. And how many know he's going to be coming? Yeah. Luke chapter 22, verse 69, same place, same situation. This is what he said, hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Jesus himself is prophesying. Look, this is it. I'm going to sit at the right hand of my Father. Amen? Hallelujah. And he's going to be praying for you. Mark chapter 16, verse 19. I hope you're writing some of these things down because it's important. So then, after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven. And the word of God says here that he sat at the on the right hand of God. Okay?
Yeah.
Cool. All right, Brother Henry. So he's sitting at the right hand. All right. Yeah. No, we're going to get some more. Because the Bible says by two or three witnesses, everything will be established. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
He is sitting at the right hand of the Father. How many of you know there's been times where he stands at the right hand of the Father? Do you know that? Do you remember when Stephen was stoned?
Yeah.
Jesus jumped to his feet and looked at him, man. And Stephen says, I see the Son of God standing at the right hand of my Father. Hallelujah. That is a place of honor. I heard a guy talking. We were in a full gospel businessman's meeting one day. And there was a man. He was, I think he was a lieutenant or something. And he brought this out. When you see a man standing, he said, that is a form of respect. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Teach your grandkids when you walk in the room, stand up when your grandpa walks in. Amen? Come on, man. Stand up when your grandma walks in. Show them some honor. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, man. Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. Kuria la moshanda. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12:2 says this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is what? Set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I just want to point out to you a few things. Jesus is the author of your faith, and he also is the finisher of your faith. It is not your faith, it's his faith in you. He's the author of it. Is that right? Yep. He's the author. It's him in you. He's not done with you. He's got more for you. Glorious things does he have for you. If you'll listen, if you'll pay attention to him, if you'll hear what the Spirit is saying to the church this morning. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Next verse is Hebrews 1:3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholded all things by the word of his power. Oh, this is saying a lot, folks. How many say amen? Amen. He's upholding all things. The sun needs support. The moon needs support. Yep. Hallelujah. Just think about it. The universe needs support. He is upholding all things by the word of his power. Yep. Isn't that crazy? When he had by himself did what? Purged our sins. Sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 through 14. I want you to see this now. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, right? Yep. How many believe that? Yeah, still only five hands, but that's okay. Go home and listen and think about this man. After he had offered one sacrifice for sins, sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Do you see that word? For by one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. How many of you know that you've been sanctified? That word sanctified means set apart for the kingdom of God. Do you know that? How many know that? That's who you are. God has called you. Not because of works that you have done. How many say amen to that? But because of his grace and his love. And he called you and he placed you in a position. Hallelujah. He sanctified you, set you apart. And the word of God right here says this. He has perfected forever them that are sanctified. How many say amen to that? Amen. Do you understand what he's telling you? That you have been perfected forever. Do you know that you cannot have access to the Father unless Jesus Christ has come into your life? Do you know that?
Yes.
I got to show it to you. Let me see if Abe, I'm sorry. You're going to have to dig this one, okay? Hebrews 10:19. Can you put that one up? I didn't think I was going to need this, but I can feel that I do. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holies and the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Can I tell you, you cannot get to God without Jesus.
Amen.
You cannot. He has sanctified you so that you can have direct access into the throne room of God. There's another one. I just want Hebrews 4:16. Look at this one. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Come on, hallelujah. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How many of you say, well, we're in time of need? How many of you say amen?
Amen?
I don't care if I'm having the greatest day of my life. I'm still in time of need. Can you say amen? God, I need you. I need you. Thank God I'm having a good day. But God, I still need you. I still want to have communion with you. I still desire to hear what you're saying to me. I still need to hear from you, God. Woo, hallelujah. No matter what. And when you've been hearing from God, those days that you go through that are not as bright, there's a little bit of darkness that in them. Because you've been hearing God, man, you walk through them like, hey, there shall nothing by any means hurt me. Amen?
Amen.
The word of God says that for you. Hallelujah. So Hebrews 10:12, I'm going to go back to that. The word of God says this. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, sat down at the right hand of the Father. So Jesus is sitting. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Here's what I want to talk to you about. This part right here. Expecting. Jesus is waiting for us, the body of Christ, to make his enemies his footstool. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Do you understand that?
Yeah.
When Jesus came and died, washed our sins away, and he rose again and went to sit down at the right hand of the Father, it was a time of brand new things. It was a thing of new beginnings. How many say amen?
Amen.
It was when where the word of God says, a new thing will I do. God was saying, a new thing in the earth I'm going to do. Whew. And this is what Jesus did. He came and did this. And I will tell you, from the time that he died and rose again, went to heaven, sat down on the right hand, to this time now, he's been waiting for something. He has been waiting for the body of Christ to take their position of who they are in Christ. How many say amen to that? Can I just say this to you? But over the years, it has taken this long for God to position men and women of God, spirit-filled, all around this globe. How many say amen? And now is the time, hallelujah, to be watching. Because I've heard a lot of folks saying, preachers. I've heard folks saying, hey, Jesus is coming soon. Jesus, I mean, hey, Matt, it's honest. It's going to happen right now. You better be ready. You better be ready. I will tell you something. That's not what God is saying to me. He's not speaking that to me. He's saying, prepare, prepare, prepare. Get my people ready. The glory of God is about to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Get them ready. Have them hear with their ears. That's what he's telling me. He's telling me the body of Christ at this time and moment right now is not yet ready. That's what he's telling me. You're not ready. There ain't going to be no rapture soon. Now, you might say, when is it going to come? I don't know. The word of God said nobody knows. But I do know by what God has been telling me, my body isn't ready. Because there are triggers for the rapture. Do you know that? I believe the rapture is going to happen. I do. The word of God says it. Isn't that right?
Yep.
There's going to be a shout. There's going to be a trumpet. There's going to be, hey, there's going to be graves open. Those that have gone before will go first. And then them that believe, we're going to go. We're all going to meet together in the air. Amen?
Amen.
It's going to happen. The word of God is there. It says it. It's in there. You cannot discount that piece of scripture. But is it going to happen soon? By what I see in the body of Christ? No. The Holy Spirit's got a lot to do. How many say amen to that? Can I tell you, it's not the work of any man. No man can do this. It's only the Holy Spirit. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. That's the only way things get done. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory to God. So he says this. He says, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. I'm going to take you to Corinthians chapter 15, verses 24 to 26. Can I tell you something? You got to put this stuff out kind of lightly. Is that right? Ooh, because I'll tell you what. I've been in this for a while, and I've been excited about saying this stuff. But yet, I still realize you got to put it out kind of lightly because people still go, what? Are you kidding me? No, man, that doesn't work that way. Listen, I will tell you that God has been building my spirit in these areas. It says, then comes the end. This is what it says in Corinthians. Then comes the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. How is he going to put down all rule and all authority and power? How is he going to do that? One way, the Holy Ghost in the believer. One way only. Jesus, the Spirit of Christ in the believer is going to put down all, can you go back to that one? All enemies, yeah. He had to put down all rule and authority and power. The next verse says this, he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. Amen? Amen. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is what?
Yeah.
Now, most of you know that I'm one of those guys that believes that death is something that is abolished in Christ. How many say amen to that? That's just the way I believe, because I've looked at it in Scripture and I say, I mean, this is what God's Word says. The Word of God says that He is waiting for the moment that all these things that are contrary to Him be put down. I believe the body of Christ is coming into its most powerful state that it's ever been in. When you begin to prophesy to people, when you begin to open up the Word, and I mean, just for whatever comes out of your mind, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, you just begin to speak to them, you're going to encourage them. They might not come to your church. They might not go, because I'm going to tell you something. I don't care where people go to church. I'd like them all to come to my church. That'd be cool. But I know that the Holy Spirit is able to build and strengthen His body no matter where they're at. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
And He'll do that. But folks, I will tell you that death is an enemy that we need to look at, because the Bible says it's an enemy of God. Is that right? Is that what you're reading up there? Does it say the last enemy to be destroyed is death? Is anybody reading that? Is anybody realizing that death is an enemy of God? Does anybody see that? We have, since Adam sinned, have been subject to this guy that we call death. How do you say that? The Word of God says that Jesus defeated death. Is that right? Come here, you little critter, you. You can't hide. Come here, man. Boom. Brought it over and stepped on it. Folks, this is death. I'm talking about death. I'm going to tell you. I did last year around, I don't know if it was around this time. It was right after my birthday last year. I did catch a virus called COVID. And I was in my house for 14 days with 100 to 103 fever, sweating like I was in a swimming pool every night. And I was watching on TV though, the Word, you know, where you hear the Word of people that are talking. I was watching, and in some of their talking, they said that people 60 and over probably won't survive these things. They said that. And then they showed a little picture of this. It looked like a little round ball with a bunch of, golf tees sticking out of it. They're all red. I don't know. Did you guys see that? There's this thing I got to look at. And I would look at that and it'd bother me. I'd go, man, I didn't realize what was happening. It was my total disgust for an enemy of God. How many say amen to that? It would just come out of me. I go, man, I don't like that. I don't even want to look at it. It was a disgust for an enemy of God that was coming against God's people. Can I tell you, anytime you've got fear, that's not God. Find God. Say, Lord, I'm afraid of something, God. And your Word tells me not to be afraid. So I'm going to come to you, God, because I need some strength that comes from you. Not what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing. But I'm laying in bed. I got up to go to the restroom. Got back. My bed was soaking wet. So I kind of, the sheets, I kind of moved them out of the way, and I laid back down. I'm laying there. And while I'm laying there, I heard this voice. I was weak. I could barely get up and go to the bathroom and come back. I was super weak. And while I was laying in bed, I heard a voice, and it said this, you're over 65. I am going to kill you. I'm laying in bed. It's almost like, so what? Folks, I do know it wasn't me. I heard this voice. It was very clear in what it said. And I did not respond. I had no response. I just laid there. I was so weak. I didn't even want to respond. But then, all of a sudden, how many of you know the Word of God says, when I am weak, then I'm strong? All of a sudden, I felt this thing going, something going on within me. Started moving. And I'm just laying there. I mean, visually, there's nobody in the room, but there's somebody there. There's something there. And this is what I said. This is what came out of my mouth. It said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It's not I that lives. It's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live according to the faith of Christ. And I said, you can't kill me. I already died. Get out of my house. And woo, man, I'll tell you what, I got all fired up. I realized something. That was not me either. That was the Holy Spirit responding to a word that came to take me, to kill me. Woo, man, I got so far. I said, praise God. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to get up and I'm going to be walking around. I'm going to be doing it. Nope, didn't happen. I got up. I was holy moly. But I will tell you, my spirit was yeah, come on. My spirit's going like this. I'm going like this. My spirit's going, yeah. Because I'll tell you what, the Word of God. God takes us through things. Not because you've been mean or mad or dirty or whatever, but he wants to reveal truths to you and get them so cemented in your heart that there's nothing you can do to get rid of it. See, because I've been looking at death. I've been looking at it. I've been watching, been seeing, been hearing the Holy Spirit. It says, that's not me. That's not me. I was going to preach a sermon for a friend. It was a funeral of a friend that was at the mine that had passed away, and his wife asked me to do the eulogy. And while I was writing the eulogy, I wrote down, death is just a part of life. And when I wrote that, the Holy Spirit stopped me right there. Says, where did you get that from? I go, what? Where did you get that from? Well, God, everybody, I don't know. Everybody says that. See, God doesn't want us to be mimicking the world. How many say amen to that? You're either going to walk in truth or you're not, right? You're either going to walk in the things that he says or you're not. How many say amen? How many want to walk in what he says? My desire, you can do whatever you want. Praise God. But I am going to follow the Lord with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. I'm going to follow him. Amen. And when he says, where did you get that? It was like I was being reprimanded. I go, what? What? What are you talking about? Yeah, I said, no, where did you get it? He said, get it off of there. And he said, this death is as far from life as light is from day. Night is from darkness. I mean, hot from cold. He gave me a whole list of things just to get me to erase that thing. He did not want me to say that life was a part of death. And I find it in Corinthians. The Word of God says, what place does darkness have with light? How many of you ever seen that? There's no place. There is no place. So when it comes to death, I'm going to be real easy on you today because this is about what I'm going to give you. This is about where God said, this is where I want you to stop. I want you to consider the fact that God never created Adam to die in the garden. He said, the day that you eat of the fruit, that's when you'll die. The day you disobey, the day that sin comes in, that's when you die. The Word of God says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Do not allow death and its action to be friendly with you at all. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Refuse it and rebuke it and speak to it every chance you get. Get away. Get away. You can't touch me. Can I tell you something? This is what the Holy Spirit said to me about Jesus. This was his mindset. We wonder why we can't go into hospitals and clear out hospitals. Do you know why? Because you're connected to death. Your spirit still thinks it has to die. And God says, no, it's not that way. My son died and he washed it away. The wages of sin is death. So why do you expect to die? Can't happen. Unless, it's like anything else, unless you want to roll over and allow it to happen. Oh, you can die. can go on and be with Jesus. Yeah. But the Lord is saying something different to the body of Christ today. He says it's time that the world see the redeemed that I paid for. It's time that the redeemed take their inheritance in the earth. How many say amen to that? The Bible says that we have to step in and take. Think you can do it on your own? Next. Can't do it. When I was walking around this building, wasn't my own idea. Joe, I think I'll go walk around that building. That wasn't my idea. I don't do things like that anymore like I used to. I don't presume on God to do the things that I think I should be doing. I don't presume that way anymore. I wait and I listen. I was waiting at my desk. I was working. I wouldn't think about God at all. I was working. And he said, middle of my computer thing, whatever I was doing, he says, I want you to go down there and pray around that building. I go, what building? That bowling alley that Brandon was talking about. Oh, that building? It's too big. We don't need it. Yeah. So here I was praying around this thing. Can I tell you something? When God tells you to do something, just go do it. And in your doing, pray in the Holy Ghost. Gloria posha. I was walking around the building. Gloria la boshanna la la makiria la batati. Sopro koshika rala botanda da de. He la mrianda cabrona. Walking in the back, walking over the weeds. Oria cabrala boshande. Yes, sir. Oh, ora bota. What was that? Rala bakara la bata. Walking around that building. And the Lord said to me, hey, prophesy to the building. See, folks, God wants us to prophesy. Standing out there, and I said, I don't know what to say. I turned around, looked at the building, all boarded up. The Lord said, open up, O ye gates. Open up, O you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory?
Jesus.
Lord, mighty in battle. Out of thee, O house of God, shall flow rivers of living water. Out of thee, O house of God, shall flow my people, bringing rivers of living water into all the city, into all the highways, and into all the byways. Whew. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. The living water needs to be flowing out of this place, out of you, and into the city and to those around you. Amen? Amen. Prophesy, prophesy, prophesy. COVID can't have anything that you won't allow it to take. Can't have your joy, can't have your peace, certainly cannot kill you. Hallelujah. It's the word of the Lord to you this morning. Would you stand? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I got more for you concerning death. I got more for you. Because the word of God is full of it. Go into Proverbs and look. It says the righteous are redeemed from death. You're going to find those scriptures. You're going to find Jesus talking. When he's raising Lazarus from the dead, you're going to see him asking, do you believe? He says, I am the resurrection and the life, is what Jesus said. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And if he would have stopped right there, that would have been all right. And a lot of the foundation that I'm trying to bring you probably would have crumbled right there. But he said something more. He says, he that believeth in me, he that liveth and believes in me will never die. But you got to believe it. You got to believe it. You got to believe what he's saying to you. You got to believe him. See, now what I've done to you this morning, I've caused you to hear some things that you better listen to. Because the word of God says, will they not hear? When the arm of the Lord is revealed, will they hear? Now what I've done to you, I placed you in a little position. Whether you want to be in this position or not, you're going to need to go check this out. Because what Jesus said about what comes out of the person defiles a person. unbelief, my friend, will defile you. It will. And God is moving the body of Christ into a position that's more than what we've ever seen in our lives. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Father, I thank you, Lord, that your word, Father God, is above all. Father, your word is settled in heaven. It's settled. And Father, since it's settled in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let it be settled on earth. We thank you for it, God. We praise you for it, God. We come, Father, I come against anything that would try to steal the seed, that would try to hinder the seed, that would try to choke the seed. And Father, I just pray that waters would come from your spirit to water the seed as it's been sown. In the name of Jesus, I pray. If you agree, say amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise God. You know what? You can be dismissed. Hey,
thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.